So you gave me permission. So this is what it feels like. Oh, I could either do that. I have one on here, right? That's amazing what we could do today, isn't it? First of all, I want to thank you for the privilege that you've given me to come here and share with you. It's been a long time since I've done something like this. Privately, out in the street, a one-on-one, I love sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It seems like the Lord leads me to do it quite often, and I guess this is Him doing it also, but in public. So, thank you again for giving me the opportunity to share what God and the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life and continues to do in my life. For those who still don't know, my full name is Julius Martinez. The J is for the first letter from Julius. My wife's name is Gloria. I would appreciate it if you lift her up in prayer. So eventually she will start coming. I have 7 children. They're all grown, praise the Lord, and out of the house. I have 10 grandchildren. It's a little expensive at Christmas time. And I have 6 great-grandchildren. Yeah. From the age of 3 to 18. Anyway, I've been saved for 44 years. I was 33 years old when I got saved. For about, I don't remember how long it was that our brother asked me to do this, to share my testimony. But from that time, I've been thinking of things to say and writing them down. And I have found that even though I write them down, I find it hard to look at the paper and say what I wrote down. So I'm going to try to do it without looking at the paper. I'd rather you look at your faces. And that's one of the things I like about just sharing one-on-one with somebody. I don't have any papers. But I was 33 years old when I got saved. I had gone through a previous marriage. I got married when I was 16 years old. Not a good thing for any young person that's thinking. I was a child raising children. I had 2 children by the time I was 18 years old. That's my oldest daughter, who is 60 years old. My son, who followed her after 2 years, has gone on to be with the Lord. He went home about 8 years ago. And I have other children. We lived... When we came to Virginia, that's where we were living, in the house of one of my daughters. That's the one with lupus. And now we've moved. It seems that she got so bad that they want to move out to the big house. And she lived upstairs. They lived upstairs. We lived downstairs. And it was getting hard for her to go upstairs. So they sold that house, and they're going to be moving here. With a 1-story house where the bedrooms will be on the first floor. And what they did was, our grandson, that's why we went there to help raise him. He's going to be 19 years old and going to college. So that daughter and her husband threw us out, you know, said, get out. And this daughter said, don't worry about it, come stay with us. My wife is extremely happy with this one because that daughter over there doesn't talk much and this one talks too much. And they have a lot of fun with each other. In fact, my wife came home 2 days ago with a pillow about this big and it says, now I'm happy. I don't know exactly what she means by that, you know. I thought we were happy all this time. We've been together. But maybe it's just this being with this daughter. However, whatever makes her happy, I'll be happy. Because the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And no matter how things are, no matter what I do, the Lord loves me. When I got saved, my wife, my present wife and I were separated. The first one left after 8 years. I still to this day don't know why. She's saved also. We visit her occasionally, as strange as that may sound. God can do miracles. I'm going to move away from this because I'm short. And this thing blocks the view of people. It's one of the problems with being short. But other things are good about being short. You can get into small places, you know. And so I'm going to try not to mention everything that took place. I think it would be best, and hopefully you can try and imagine what I'm trying to say just by what I say. I don't know if that sounds right. But when I had never tasted liquor of any type, no beer, no hard liquor, no wine, until I was 25 years old. That was out of choice. When my first wife left, it broke my heart. She had, you know, I thought I was doing good, but she wasn't happy and left. So I went someplace and I grabbed a bottle of liquor and drank the whole thing and fell asleep. Woke up and realized that my life was in a mess. Anyway, eventually, my sister, who was married, introduced me to my present wife. Common law. There are those that recognize what I mean by common law. My first wife, that's what we were for about 7 years. And the drinking that I started to do became... I made up for lost time. I did a lot of it. Through my wife's brother-in-law, on her, you know, her sister's husband, introduced me to things that were much stronger. I hope you understand by things that were much stronger. And I also made up for times that I wasn't doing things. Even on the job, I did it. The funny cigarettes, I'm gonna use the expression, a pothead. In the morning, the first thing I did was light one up, and the last thing I did at night was light one up before I went to bed. It's amazing what you can do. The Bible says If you follow sin, you become a slave to it. And that's what happened to me. Not only with the drugs and the alcohol, which my wife got used to, you know, she would put up with it. I had no problem working. In fact, the foreman's on the job, I was a construction worker, I would say, I'm going to go downstairs for a minute. And they would say, oh, you're going to see Mary Jane? Which if you say it in Spanish, it's talking about the drug. And I would smile, they would smile. I'd go downstairs, do it, then come back. And I had in fact, God gave me a talent. Talents he gives before you even get saved. And you could look on a deck. I was a construction worker, electrician. You could look on a deck. And I say this with some pride, but I give the glory to God because it was his talent. You could tell where I worked because of the neatness of the bends, the electrical, the pipe bends. And so the foremans didn't care. As long as I did my work, they were happy. I became my brother-in-law who did these things and introduced me to them was also womanizer, I'll say that. And I also became a womanizer, much to my shame. My wife couldn't take that after a while. It was amazing how long she took it. I find it amazing how women can put up with so much from a man. It seems that God has given them some kind of special ability to put up with things. Because there's an expression in Spanish that I didn't understand it for many years until I experienced, you know. Anyway, it says, los hombres son perros. Men are like dogs. They can go without thinking about it, from one to the other. So my wife eventually left me, and I thought it was great because I didn't have anybody to give me a hassle when I got home. I could do what I wanted. But after a while, I missed my wife and kids. Doing what you think is good is not so good. It may seem like fun at the time. And in actuality, it is fun. Satan causes things to give you a good time. But it's only to get you started. And then again, you become a slave to it. And then it takes control of your life. So in actuality, it's not good. It only feels good for a short time. When my wife left again, I thought it was good. No more arguing. I used to leave sometimes on Friday. This is how bad I got. I would leave, go to work on Friday morning, and come back on Monday to my home. All this time, my wife was hurting. But I didn't care. You don't think about it when you're doing these things. All you think about is your good time, having a good time. But again, she left. I thought it was good. Short time later, I started missing my wife and the kids. And for months, that's the way it went. And even though I had, acquaintances, that would spend the weekend. There were times when I would start to cry, and the person would say, "What's wrong with you?" And I would say, "Nothing." But evidently, something was wrong. And I knew what it was, but I didn't want to say anything. Well, one weekend, after taking one of the people home, on the way back, I was listening to the oldies. For those that don't know, it's the old rock and roll songs. And on the way home, I was listening to it, and some of the songs reminded me of my wife when we first started going out together. And I started missing her. I started missing her and the kids so much that I started crying. And when I got to the house, I went upstairs, and maybe some people here know what it's like to cry so hard that you feel a knot in your throat. You almost feel something in your chest. You're thinking about what's making you cry. And your head starts to jerk. That's the way I was crying. I went upstairs. I made myself a drink, much stronger than when I first started. And I made myself one of those cigarettes. And those cigarettes can either make you laugh about those flowers. It can make you laugh hilariously when there's really nothing funny about it. Or it can amplify what you're going through. And that's what it did. It amplified the things that I was going through. There was literally, I was sitting on the sofa with my face in my hands and my elbows on my knees. And I was so crying so much that there was literally a little puddle of tears on the floor that were dripping down my nose. I got up and I turned the TV on. Back then, there was no remote. You had to get up, walk to the TV, turn it on. You sat back down. I got up again to change the channel again because you had to turn this knob. And this guy started talking when I sat down, and it turned out to be one of these TV preachers. It's amazing how God can use all things when he wants to reach somebody. If he wants to save you, the person that was preaching or sharing that day on this particular program, as I grew in the Lord, I came to realize he wasn't really, I didn't think though, not according to the way I saw things in Scripture. He used to say things like, "Everything is a cinch, inch by inch. The way you live your life is what caused you to live a better life." But God used him to make me realize. And it seemed like somebody had been watching my life and writing everything down. Because every time this man said something, it would touch me and make me cry all the more. Anyway, eventually he would say, "The reason you're hurting so much is because you've sinned against God. What you've done to people is bad, yes, but the worst part is that you've sinned against God." And he said, "God loves you. And he wants to forgive you. And if you want to be forgiven, you could pray this prayer." And there are different sinners' prayer, but he talked about that one. And my Catholic background caused me to get on my knees to pray, which is a good thing, but you don't have to. But I got on my knees And I said the sinner's prayer that day. And it seemed like something was lifted off my shoulders. I didn't see any light. I didn't feel any miraculous thing other than that. Not realizing it at the time, I sat back down. And I thought about a Christian record that my brother had sent me a couple of months before, and I just put it on the shelf. And I thought about, and I went, I got the record and I put it on. And the first song that came on was "The King Is Coming." I don't know if you know it, but I thought it was the greatest song in the world, because it talks about the things that are happening, and then he says, "The King, he's coming for me." You know, the God of the universe was coming for me. That was 44 years ago. It seems like yesterday. A lot of things have happened since then. Some of them very bad. Personally, even the life of my son, my people in my family, my siblings, my dad. The only one that I don't know about as far as my siblings is my mom and two of my brothers. I don't know if they're saved. They were saved, but anyway, God has been very good in my life since then. After I got saved, the Lord brought me and my wife back together again. We have been trying to, every once in a while we'd talk and make up, but then I'd get that itch again. This was before I got saved, and I would find some reason to go back out again. I shared with her that I got saved, and it turned out that, as they say, coincidence, my wife and our they're big girls now, they were going to an Awana clubs, our sister here. By the way, I know this sister for a couple of years. We've been involved in Pine Bush and Chapel in Brooklyn for quite a while. Boy, that caught my train of thought. Okay. Somebody remind me of what I was saying.
Your wife came back.
Yes. How do you know? She did. The Lord brought us back together again. The girls were going to an Awana clubs, and they had a problem in the gym. They had a leak in the gym, and my wife, I still call her my wife, even though we weren't yet. It was common law, as they used to say at the time. And my wife said, "Can you help them?" Because she knew I was handy with my hands. God has given me a talent in my hands. I ended up fixing a big job in the gym, and that's how I started going to this gym. At the time, it was just Spanish speaking, except for the little kids. They had that in English, but I didn't want to go to the little kids, you know. Ministry, I wanted to be with the adults, which was in Spanish. I used to go to the meetings, and I went to a meeting in what we used to call the Thursday room, because that's where they used to go to pray on the weekdays. And they would sing the hymns in Spanish, and they pray in Spanish, and I didn't know Spanish. I'm Puerto Rican descendant, but in my house they didn't speak Spanish. I knew how to say sí, no, you know, a couple little simple things. So I tried praying, because that's what you should do when you go to a meeting. And I couldn't, because there was a brother there who used to lead the singing, who was very stern, you know. And he, in my opinion, tried to encourage the people, but not in an encouraging way. He didn't come out nice. But anyway, that would make me feel bad. I went outside of the room into the gym. There used to be a small window there. And I walked up to that that window, and I was looking out of the window, and I saw some bugs, insects. And the thought came to my head, wow, Lord, it's like those bugs are like me. Those insects are like us. You could squash us with your foot, with a finger. You can kill so many, and yet you love us. And this started a conversation. And believe it or not, I started hearing the Lord. It's strange to me. Sound, and this happened a few times since then. The Lord and I started a conversation about things that were going on in my life. And somebody also came from the meeting into the kitchen, and I heard the footsteps while I was talking, and I thought to myself, that person is going to think I'm a little crazy because I'm talking and there's nobody here. But when they went back, I vocalized it. I said, God, they're in there praying and singing to you, but they don't know that you're not in there. You're out here talking to me. I understand now, you know, since then, that he was in there too. God is every place. He hears everybody. But at the time, I felt he was just there in the gym talking to me. I've had multiple experiences like that. Let me say it again. It's been 44 years. There's nothing, this can happen to anybody. And it's probably happened to you. Maybe in different situations. You said 12? Anyway. I got a lot of stuff written on the paper. I'm glad I didn't use it. I know I'm going to walk away from here saying, Jay, you should have said this, you should have said. But I let you know that I was a sinner, a bad sinner. I did things that my wife has told me about that I to this very day, I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I said some of the things I said. It's anyway, my God has forgiven me. And I can tell you, no matter what you've done in your life, and you don't have to be a bad sinner. The Bible says if you break one of the commandments, it's the same as breaking them all. So as far as adultery or hatred, murder, I was there. I mean, I didn't kill. I've never killed anybody. But the Bible also says if you hate somebody, it's the same as killing them. So I did that too. Anyway, I want to let you know that since that time, here it is, 44 years, and I love the Lord. This morning at the Lord's Supper, when a couple of brothers shared, I enjoyed everyone. And you know, I'm going to say this, I hope they don't get bored. I'm glad I'm not a woman. For some reason, this is what God said you have to do. Sit there, silently. But I know that there's ministry, there's things going on between you and the Lord. I'm glad I'm a man and I can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Sometimes I like to get a little bit, so if it happens someday, please forgive me. And well, Romans 12. God is good all the time. And as I've heard people saying all the time, God is good. Romans chapter 12. I didn't think I was going to take this long to do things. I had so much to share, not just with the testimony, but with the Word of God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, beseech you. Another word that we use today is I beg you. I'm begging you. I'm begging you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We know what a sacrifice is. Something that was offered on the altar. The life was taken from what was offered on the altar. The difference is that we are living sacrifices. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. I don't know how many own a home here. Maybe you all do. Some are maybe have it paid off already. Some don't. I don't know how much your house is worth. Where we moved from, the house was worth over $1 million. Some of the houses in the neighborhood, the area, were $2 or $3 million. I couldn't even pay the taxes on those things. But anyway, reasonable service. If you think about what God has done for us, isn't it a good thing to sacrifice ourselves to the Lord? And it's not so bad a sacrifice. You could still laugh. You could still do things, all kinds of things that are fun, that are not wrong. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. There are a lot of things in this world that attract us. There are some things that are okay, but some things that are not. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We should be transformed. We should be changed by the renewing of our minds. As we read the Word of God, we're going to find what God wants and expects from us. And what He wants and expects from us, it's not bad. It's not really hard. It may seem hard, but if we yield ourselves to the Lord, we find that it's easy. Like the Lord said, the burden that He gives us is really light. It's not hard to do. It may seem like it, but that's only because we might be trying to do it in our own efforts. But if we yield to the Lord, it gets so much easier. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more we share ourselves, the more we yield ourselves to the Lord, and the more we read His Word, we're going to find that your life changes. You start to think biblically. I'm known for my son-in-law's mother would say that I'm unsociable because I don't talk much. When they have some kind of celebration or get together. But that's because they don't talk. They don't talk about the Lord. She and her husband are Catholic. They go to church every Sunday. And she's a nice lady. And he's a nice guy. but they are unsaved, which hurts me, and I pray for them. Her name is Beverly, and his name is Bill, in case you're one of those prayer warriors that gets a name and continues to pray. I'm not one of them. In fact, somebody could come up to me after I ask them, say, please pray for, you know, somebody. And then they'll come up, Elvia, you remember Elvia? This sister back in Brooklyn. I would tell her to pray about somebody, and she would come up to me 2 months later and say, Jay, how is this person, you know? And I'd say, what? Who? You know, I couldn't remember. And then I was embarrassed when she would say, you know, the person you asked me to pray for. And I sincerely, when I asked her to pray, I was really concerned. But I forget. But anyway, the Lord loves us. We start to think biblically. I'm known in my family for, again, conversations that I do get into it, and think something in the Bible will pop into my head, and I'll say, you know, there's something in the Bible that you could say about that. And even my grandkids, oh, Grandpa Jay, now you talk to him, all he's going to talk to you is about the Bible. Everything is about the Bible. I don't follow sports. My wife, in fact, this guy Bill, he would say, Jay, did you see the football game? Did he start to talk? I said, Bill, you're talking to the wrong person. Go talk to Gloria. She's the football watcher. She likes sports. In fact, even at Pine Bush Bible Camp, when they used to play volleyball, the person I could hear cheering the loudest was my wife. She loves sports. She's not very good at it, but she loves it. Okay, I got 1 minute left. Again, let me just read those two verses again. I had a whole bunch of stuff, and just when you start to read and get into the study of God's word, just in those two verses, there is so much that you can go back and forth that can minister to your heart, minister to your spirit, that'll help you to grow so much. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and he is merciful, we heard about that today, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And remember, when you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he doesn't want to kill you. He's going to give you a much better life, because when he blesses you with things that you enjoy, you don't suffer it for it later, like when you were not saved. Those things continue to get better. Present yourself a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. If you think about what God has done for us, that's the least we can do. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. The world can show you so much that it'll entice you and you'll desire. And it even happens in the church. There are a lot of things that still happen. There are a lot of things that they say the world is creeping into the church. We are responsible for ourselves. What goes on outside, to some extent, even in the church, we are to be our brother's keeper. We are to, when we see somebody doing something wrong, we should, with love and compassion, share with that person and try to encourage them to let them know so that they can repent and come back. But we are responsible more than anything else for ourselves. So don't let the world affect you. There's a lot of influence out there. By the renewing of your mind, as you read the Word of God, your mind will be renewed. You'll start to think differently. And it says that you may prove What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Read his word. I'm not a good reader. My retainment is not good. I do remember a lot of things because it's like a commercial on TV. The more you hear it, it becomes familiar to you. Sometimes even without you even realizing it, you'll be whistling it. Well, I will be whistling a tune that's from the commercial or something. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be you have to be educated to some point, you know, where you could read. But even if you're a poor reader, you could read the Word of God. Just sit down and read it. God will take care of the rest. It's amazing what he could do with somebody like me. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, he'll take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I heard somebody preaching one time, and the guy says, you know, I'm so glad I'm stupid. God works with everybody as long as you want to yield yourself to him. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and the